October 21st, Jesus says, I shall resume the commentary on the souls taken into purgatory. It does not matter whether you have grasped the complete meaning of my words. These are pages for all have some loved ones in purgatory, and nearly all, with the life they lead, are destined to stop in that dwelling. For the former and the latter I shall thus continue. I said that the souls being purged suffer only because of love and expiate with love. Here are the reasons for this system of expiation. If you, unreflecting men, carefully consider my law and its counsels and commands, you see that it entirely hinges on love. Love for God, love for one's neighbor. In the first commandment, I, God, impose myself on your reverential love with all the solemnity which is worthy of my nature, as compared to your nothingness. I am the Lord, your God. You forget this too often, O men who think you are gods, and, unless you have a spirit vivified by grace in you, you are nothing but dust and putrefaction, animals joining to animality, the craftiness of the intelligence possessed by the beast, who makes you do the works of beasts worse than those of beasts, the works of demons. Say it to yourselves morning and evening, say it to yourselves at midday and at midnight, say it to yourselves when you eat, when you drink, when you go to bed, when you wake up, when you work, when you rest, say it to yourselves when you love. Say it to yourselves when you contract friendships, say it to yourselves when you command, and when you obey, say it to yourselves always. I am not God. Food, drink, and sleep are not God. Labor, rest, occupations, and the works of genius are not God. Friendships are not God. Superiors are not God. One alone is God. My Lord, who has given me this life, so that with it, I may merit the life which does not die, who has given me clothing, food, and dwelling places, who has given me work, so that I may earn a living and ingenuity, so that I may witness to being the king of the earth, who has given me the capacity for loving and creatures, to be loved with holinesses, and not with lust, who has given me power and authority, so that I may make it a means of holiness, and not of damnation. I can become similar to him, since he has said, you are gods, but only if I live his life, that is, his law only if I live his life, that is, his love. One alone is God. He. I am his child and subject, the heir of his kingdom. But if I desert and betray, if I create for myself a kingdom of my own in which I want to be king and God in human terms, I then lose the true kingdom, and my destiny as a child of God is forfeited, and becomes degraded into that of a child of Satan, for one cannot serve selfishness and love at the same time, and whoever serves the former serves the enemy of God, and loses love, that is, he loses God. Remove from your minds and your hearts all the deceitful gods that you have placed there, beginning with the God of Mire, that you are when you do not live in me. Remind yourselves of what you owe me, for all I have given you, and I would have given you more, if you had not bound the hands of your God, with your way of living, what I have given you for the life of each day, and for eternal life. For the latter God has given you his Son, so that he would be immolated like a lamb, without blemish, and wash your debts with his blood, and thus not, as in Mosaic times, make the iniquities of the fathers fall upon their children down to the fourth generation of sinners, who are those who hate me, for sin is an offense against God, and whoever offends hates. Do not raise other altars to gods that are not true. Have the one and only Lord your God, not so much on altars of stone, but on the living altar of your hearts. Serve him and offer true worship of love, 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 O children who are unable to love, who utter and utter and utter words of prayer, words alone, but do not make love your prayer, the only one pleasing to God. Remember that a true throbbing of love which rises like a cloud of incense from the flames of your heart in love with me has a value infinitely greater than thousands and thousands of prayers and ceremonies performed with a lukewarm or cold heart. Attract my mercy with your love. If you knew how active and great my mercy is to whoever loves me, it is a wave which passes and washes what constitutes a stain in you. It gives you a snow-white soul to enter into the holy city of heaven, in which the charity of the Lamb who had himself immolated for you shines like a sun. Do not use the holy name out of habit, or to give strength to your wrath, to vent your impatience, or to confirm your curses. And, above all, do not apply the term God to a human creature whom you love out of sensual hunger or mental worship. That name should be said to one alone, to me. And to me, it must be said with love, faith, and hope. Then that name will be your strength and your defense. The worship of this name will justify you, for those who act, while placing my name as a seal upon their actions, cannot perform wicked actions. I am speaking of those who act truthfully, not of the liars who seek to cover themselves and their works with the splendor of my thrice holy name. And who are they trying to deceive? I am not subject to deceit, and men themselves, unless they are mentally disturbed, by comparing the liar's deeds with their words comprehend that they are false, and experience disdain and aversion over this. You that are unable to love anything but yourselves, and your money, and regard every hour not devoted to satisfying your flesh, or fattening your purses as wasted, and your enjoyment or work as gluttons and beasts, manage to introduce a pause which will enable you to think of God, of His acts of goodness, His patience, and His love. You should always, I repeat, bear me in mind, whatever you do. But since you are unable to act, while keeping your spirits fixed in God, once a week stop acting so as to think of God alone. This, which may seem to you to be a servile law, is instead proof of how God loves you. Your good Father knows that you are fragile machines that wear out in continuous use, and has provided for your flesh for it too, since it is also His work by giving you the command to have it rest one day out of every seven, to give it proper repose. God does not want your illnesses. If you had remained His children, really His, from Adam on, you would not have known illnesses. These are the fruit of your acts of disobedience to God, together with pain and death. And like a mushroom bed they arose and arise over the roots of the initial disobedience, that of Adam, and they sprout from each other, a tragic chain, from the germ which has remained in your hearts, from the venom of the accursed serpent who gives you fevers of lust, avarice, gluttony, sloth, and blameworthy forms of imprudence. And it is blameworthy imprudence to want to force your being towards constant work for gain, as it also is to want excessive enjoyment of the palate, or the senses, by not being satisfied with the food necessary for life, and the company necessary for the